I don't know how people make it through this life without Jesus. I really don't. I got to look back at how I tried it without Jesus, and man, it was a train wreck. You know, you just reach for things. You know, you just deal with, and it's not fun. It's just temporary things that try to help you. Well, God has got a remedy for us, for our fear and anxiety, and it's called the Holy Spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit. So that's what we're going to talk about here today. And that's what I want to preach on today and talk about, because I know I always think about people that I'm preaching in front of. I picture different people in my mind. First of all, I picture people that are just tore up from the floor up. So whether that's you or not, I don't mean to offend you, but that's how I picture everybody in here. It helps me preach better. Amen. Somebody says, put a sinner on the front row that you know they're a sinner and you'll preach the best message you ever have. Amen. That's what I do there. So everybody's a sinner on the front row, including Phil. Amen. This guy. Amen. It helps me preach when I picture people like that. And be honest with you, none of us have it all figured out. Amen. How many here has got it all figured out? You're perfect. You haven't sinned. You're doing great today. Jesus, are you here? Because he's the only one that's here, right? We're trying to figure it out as we go. And so Jesus says, I know that you can't live this life without any help. So I'm going to send you a personal helper. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we get so excited about the Holy Spirit, because he's our helper. He helps us. He don't do it for us. He helps us do it. Like my father-in-law, who also watches online, him and my mother-in-law live up in the Thumb area, and he's a mechanic, and he, you know, I had a lot of problems with cars. You heard that last week, and I just did. I just had my share of hoopties and buckets, and those are cars that don't run well. I had them, and he used to help me, and I needed something fixed. And he'd say, okay, bring the car over. I brought the car over, and he'd come out, and he'd pull up a milk crate, and he'd sit down. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm wearing nice clothes, you know. I'm thinking he's going to do the job. And he said, I don't know why you wore those nice clothes. I ain't doing it. He said, I'm here to help you. Take that wrench, take that pliers, and he began to coach me to do brakes and do everything. He's the help. He didn't even get dirty. But I was the one that did it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He helps us live this Christian life. He don't do it for us, but he helps us do it. But I know that there's folks here, and there's always people watching online or whatever, that may not have a full understanding of what this Pentecost means, this Holy Spirit means. And even some of you that do understand the Holy Spirit, do understand the thing about speaking in tongues. It's not a strange thing for you. Some of you have grown up in that environment, and it's very familiar to you. You and I can also kind of shy away from that and not use that wonderful gift and get so busy with life, and that we forget that we have that help with us, and we can neglect that gift, as the Bible says. Paul told Timothy, do not neglect that gift that is within you. How many know you can neglect a gift? Someone can even give you a brand new Mercedes-Benz or a brand new car and be loving it. But how many know, no matter how beautiful the gift is, you can neglect something? It gets old, it gets stale, it gets too familiar, and you kind of let off. Well, we need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. I want to stir your hearts today. This is Pentecost. It's to stir that up today and get back into the flow of the Holy Spirit. And when you do that, like me, you'll say, man, you forgot how wonderful it is to be able to experience the Holy Ghost. So I want you to open your Bibles with me, and I want you to go over to Acts chapter 18. I already gave you the story of Pentecost a minute ago. That's in Acts 2. I just quoted it to you. It's a story. Here in Acts 18, I want to turn our attention to this, and I want to title this message today, Pentecost, A More Excellent Way. Pentecost, A More Excellent Way. So you have a way of doing church, and then you have a more excellent way of doing church. You have a way of praying. With the help of the Holy Spirit, you can have a more excellent way of praying and worship. I'm going to show you that today. That's why God gave us the Holy Spirit, so we can do things in a more excellent way. Let me just give you this analogy. We bought one of our houses. We lived in an E-course over on High Street there. So it's a big house, nice house. But in the basement, they had left behind an old washer machine. And it was an old washer machine. Like, you had to have this hand crank press where the clothes went through, and you had to scrub it, you know. And it worked, so we kept it. And, man, that was fun doing those I did. Melinda did. She's like, honey, every week we got to get a new washer. I was like, hey, that one works fine. Until I had to use it. Amen. All right. It was hard. It was hard. But it got the clothes clean. It sure did. But it took a half a day to do just a little bit of detergent or just do a little bit of clothes. Well, we finally got a washer machine, a nice one. Plugged that bad boy in. And I tell you what, it also washed clothes, but it did it in a more excellent way. So here's the point. You can live your Christian life the old-fashioned, hard way of trying to pray and trying to live good and try to be holy and try to do everything right and try to make every service and try to read your Bible and try not to say things. And you can do it manually in your own strength or energy, or you can allow God to plug you in to a power source that will also clean the clothes. But all you got to do is push a button. All you got to do is stand there and put the right mixture in, and it does all the work right there. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Is a more excellent way. And that's where I'm going with today. So in Acts chapter 18, we come across a story that happened 25 years after Pentecost. This is 25 years later that God poured out his Spirit. The church is going through the entire Middle East, Mesopotamia area, and the gospel is spreading. Churches are being built and started, and it's a wonderful thing. And we come across these group of people that have not learned about the Holy Spirit, the more excellent way. And so if you're here today or you're watching online and you haven't, you know, really been taught about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that's what it's called. Actually, the theological term is the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That's what it's called theologically, because every time you read it in Acts 2, Acts 8, Acts 18, all these five examples, Acts 10, every time somebody was filled with the Holy Spirit, they spoke in other tongues, a language that was either a language here on earth or a heavenly language. Paul the Apostle said, I can speak in tongues of men or of angels. But the point is, it's a language you don't know. It's a prayer language. It helps you pray a more excellent way. And I'm going to get into that here in just a moment. Okay, that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But it's not just about speaking in tongues. It's about having power. It's about being able to share your faith and have more confidence and to be used of God and have that power to live the Christian life. That's what it's all about. You say, well, can I get baptized in the Holy Spirit? And I don't know about them speaking in tongues. I tell you like this, it's like buying a pair of boots. The tongues come with it. You want them boots, right, to go hiking in the woods. They help you not to hurt your foot. Well, the tongues come with it. And it's not that I have to speak in tongues. You get to speak in tongues. And I'm going to kind of break that down for you today and help somebody. Don't be afraid of it. Tell your neighbor, don't be afraid. This is for you. It's in the Bible. So when I got saved, it was a big enough miracle for me to just be in church. Let me just tell you that. That was huge for me just to be in church. My wife was happy with that. Amen. Just taking my wife and my daughters, and we were going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night. We had Sunday night services in those days, and then Wednesday night. And then Saturdays, I would show up every now and then to help out with if I wasn't working. You know, and that was living. I was totally fine with that. But that was good. And then I began to look at this Holy Spirit thing. And I was faced with a dilemma. Am I going to believe this, or am I just going to skip all that? And if it's in the Bible, how many know we need to look at it? And so that's why I say here, I don't skip over anything. If it's in the Bible, we need to take a look at it. But there are some churches and there are some of you that have never been taught that because you've went to a church or you've had somebody that didn't explain it to you the right way and didn't understand it. So you have no desire. You don't even know what it means. You got a kind of a mixed view from TikTok and videos and books or grandma or that weird dude at work. Or at one time you went to a Pentecostal church and saw things and you're like, what is going on? And you left. You know, I mean, that's understandable. I'm telling you, all of that is just part of your experience. But if you peel all that back, this is a wonderful, powerful gift that when I got filled with the Holy Spirit, I went from struggling to striving. Hear me? I went from struggling to striving. And I still struggle, and you're still going to struggle in many areas, but something's different. I got a power source now. And that's why Jesus said to do this. But we're going to read about a group of people that I want you to see this and see if you could see yourself in here. So we're in chapter 18, verse 24. I'm going to read this, give you some more excellent ways of why we want the Holy Spirit, and then we're going to show you some things. Verse 24, and I'll pay attention here. I was going to have a stand and read it, but I want to take my time. So I want everybody get over there. Get time to get over. Open your Bible, whether you have a book or on your phone. Amen. It's not on the screen. I'd like you to see this yourself, and it's a lot of scripture, so I want you to see it. Underline it if you like to write in your Bible. God won't get mad at you. Now, a certain Jew named Apollos. Everybody say Apollos. Circle his name. Underline his name. He's the main guy here. Watch this. He was born in Alexandria. He's an elegant man, mighty in the scriptures. Okay? He came to Ephesus. Underline Ephesus. I want you to see this. What city is he in? Ephesus. Ephesus is still there today. It's a city over in the Mediterranean. It's over there. And it's the same book of Ephesians was written to this church, okay? So Apollos was here. This man, watch this, had been instructed in the way of who? The Lord. Underline the Lord. The Lord is, who is our Lord? Jesus Christ. You need to understand this. I'm going somewhere with this today. He was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in spirit. Look how it describes this man. Underline fervent in spirit. He spoke and taught accurately the things of who? The Lord. He spoke and taught the things of the Lord. Now watch this. Though he only knew the baptism of John. He didn't know about the baptism of the Spirit. He only knew about the baptism of John. What is that? Water baptism. How many know water baptism is important? It is something that we as followers of Christ should do. That's what Jesus did. And we ought to follow him. If you haven't been water baptized, we got one coming up this summer. You need to sign up when they're open. You need to get water baptized. It's going public with your faith. It's an amazing experience. You need to have that happen. But this guy, this is the only baptism. And baptism is the key word, right? Because today's Pentecost Sunday, where we're talking about the baptism in the Holy Spirit, right? This guy only knew about the baptism in water. Now, so he began to speak boldly, verse 26, in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, Aquila and Priscilla is a husband and wife who were discipled under the Apostle Paul. Now, they knew about the baptism in the Holy Spirit because Paul is Pentecostal Paul, right? He didn't believe either until he had an encounter with Jesus Christ that knocked him off his horse. Sometimes we got to get knocked off our high horse, amen, to humble us. And that happened on the road to Damascus. I preached it before called the road to Damascus. Because he had that religious spirit on him, and God took it off. He ended up being open to the things. See, you got to be. Oh yeah, yeah. You have to have an attitude that says, "Lord, if it's in the Bible, I don't understand it, but I want it. If you got it for me, amen." And that's what Paul was. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and so he discipled these two husband and wife team. They were there while Apollos was preaching, and they're listening to that man preach. And they said to him, they took him aside. Look at verse 26. They took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. One translation says they showed him a more excellent way. You see that? They showed him a more excellent way. Although he was fervent. Did you see that? He taught accurately the things of Jesus. He was a good guy. He had charisma. He had energy, and he taught the word accurately, but he was missing an experience. There was something that he didn't understand, and so he only knew about the baptism of water, of John. So Priscilla and Aquila said, "Hey, let me talk to you for a minute. You knocked it out of the park. Thank you for preaching. That word was for me today. It was so amazing. Have you heard about the Holy Spirit?" And Apollos was like, "The Holy Spirit?" He's like, "The Holy Spirit. You hear what happened about 25 years ago in the city of Jerusalem, and they were speaking in tongues and different languages and miracles happening." And Apollos goes, "Yeah, I've heard about that, you know." And the Bible says that if you read it, they went on and talked about Apollos ended up getting filled. If you study his life, he ended up being even more of an effective witness. But I want you to see what happens when you are under a man like Apollos. Look at chapter 19, verse 1. Now it happened while Apollos was at Corinth. Okay, so Apollos, Lee, I know I'm teaching this morning, but I want you to get, listen, I want people to understand and to receive what God has for you and come to this church. I want everybody to understand the word of God and get what God has for you if you come here. I don't just get into show and preach something and go. I want you to, we got to learn some things. We got to understand what this Holy Spirit, if you don't understand the things of God, you're not going to be interested in the things of God. You're not going to desire them or pursue them. But if you understand them and you desire them, then you're going to want them and then you're going to receive them. And you're going to like, man, that's so amazing. Okay, so Apollos left Ephesus and he went to another city, Corinth. Here comes Paul. That Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to what? Ephesus. Underline Ephesus. Now watch this. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Let me ask you that question. How many are believers in Jesus Christ? Let me ask you this. Have you received this baptism of the Holy Spirit since you believed? Watch this. Watch this. Some of you are like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, watch this. They said, we have so not much as even heard whether there is a Holy Ghost. They said, we haven't even heard. Why? Because their pastor hasn't taught them. How many know that if your pastor doesn't believe in something, he's not going to teach you something? How many know if your pastor hasn't experienced it, he's not going to tell you about it? And there are many pulpits today on this most important day of the Christian faith that's probably not even talking about the precious Holy Spirit. Not for me in my house. We will talk about the Holy Spirit because we're doing a disservice to you if we're not telling you about this power of the Holy Spirit. It was so important to Jesus that he said to his disciples, listen, this is Acts chapter 1. We looked at it last week. He said, I don't want you to do anything. I don't want you to sign up and do anything until you receive power from on high. It was a priority. And here he's asking these guys, hey, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? They said, no, we've been baptized. You know, no, we really haven't. We haven't so much as heard the Holy Spirit. And then he said, verse 3, chapter 9, verse 3, into what then were you baptized? They said, John's baptism. So they're in this dispensation, this time period of the church where it's transitioning from John the Baptist into Jesus and the church is being born. It's only 25 years old. The church is brand new. I mean, our church started, River of Life started in 2002, so we're 23 years old, okay? And there's so much that has happened in 23 years of our church right here. It is so amazing what has happened, amen. I can only imagine what the early church in the book of Acts experienced in 25. Well, read, we're in chapter 18 of the book of Acts, and there are all kinds of things that happen. And so they have just bits and pieces of the history, like many here today, just have bits and pieces and know a little bit of our story. Even your story, if you're 25 years or older, how many know you've been through some things? And so they have a little bit of a mixed view on what the Holy Spirit was all about. They got a little bit of water baptism, but that's it. So Paul says, listen, there is more than what you've been experiencing. And so he ends up baptizing them again as followers of Christ, even though they are disciples. It says they are disciples. It says Apollos taught the things of Jesus, right? He accurately taught the things of Jesus. So they were followers of Jesus. They just never experienced this in their life, like maybe some of you. But they were all open to it. And look at verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now, there were about 12 of them in all. Why did he lay hands on them? Not because they got saved. No one ever gets saved by laying hands on them. You don't. When someone says, I want to be a Christian, you don't have to put your hand on them and pray salvation on them. You can just simply in your heart say, I believe in Jesus. I'm going to turn from my sin and put my faith in you. Forgive me of my sin, Lord. Come into my life and be the Lord of my life. If you believe that and pray that sincerely, how many know you are saved? Whether you ever speak in tongues or anything, you don't have to speak in tongues to go to heaven. You really don't even have to get baptized, but you know, because the thief in the cross didn't. But listen, if he was able to get off the cross, he would have got in the tank. So it is something that we should be following is in the same. But I want you to understand here, this what I'm talking about today is a separate experience from salvation. This is the second work of grace. If you are saved, and especially if you've been water baptized, amen, congratulations, you're on your way to heaven. You have eternal life in you. You are what we call saved, saved from sin, saved from the wrath of God because he put it on Jesus, saved from an eternity without God. You are saved. That's where that word salvation comes from. You're on your way to heaven. Why? Because you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? But I'm here to tell you that there's more. There's more. And it's something that I want to try to get to you to get you hungry for and thirsting for. But it is a separate experience. Now, those of you that are a little bit theologically, you know, correct, and you want to know some scriptures on this second experience, let me run through them real quick. John chapter 20, it's on your screen. John chapter 20, Jesus rose from the dead. This is on Easter Sunday. And you need to take notes and write this down, because you got people, I'm sure, that you work with or in your family. Maybe like my mom. My mom was raised Southern Baptist. My grandpa was a deacon in the Baptist church. I love my grandpa Patterson. He's a big guy. And he just gave you that look. He would under his glasses in church. And you know you're going to get in trouble when you got home. And my mama would tell those stories. But they were raised in a Southern Baptist. Loved Jesus. They loved Jesus. And my grandpa is in heaven because he loved Jesus. Now, this Pentecostal thing, he never really experienced. And my mom tells this funny story how she got a little older. She was a teenager. And some of the teenagers in church, they loved church, but it was kind of boring. They couldn't even clap their hands. They couldn't even lift their hands. My mom said, you know, they heard about this singing group. The singing group, you know, would come to a church. We had a bunch of singing in those days. And so my mom and them booked a singing group to come to their little Baptist church. Well, they had no idea it was a Pentecostal group. And so this Pentecostal group came, and it was a lady leading worship. And she got up on the stage, a woman on the platform. And she started singing. Well, she took those heels off and started dancing in the Holy Ghost. And my grandpa looked on, and my mom, and my mom, woo, and my granny, my grandma was like, oh, come on, Jesus. There was a separation in the marriage. Hallelujah. There was a separation, and they ended up working it out. And then years later, my mom, you know, my dad got saved, and my dad, they went to this church, and it was a dead church. It was real, you know, no one moved or nothing. And my dad said, I don't know if I can handle this. I need some excitement. You know, it's like a funeral. So my dad walked into Grace Assembly of God in Southwest Detroit under Pastor Earl Brown, filled with the Holy Ghost. People casting devils out of people, and people just have all, many of them were ex-addicts and coming out of broken lives that are now model citizens, working jobs and beautiful marriages. And how do you explain that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's what I mean by you can have church and you can have a more excellent way of doing church. That's what I mean. The difference is if you're going to allow the Holy Spirit. In this church, we allow the Holy Spirit to move and have his way. Things you may not understand, things you don't, but you should all want more of what God has for you. And then needless to say, my mom got filled with the Holy Ghost. She fell down on the floor and began to speak in tongues. And my dad looked at her and said, what in the world did you do to my wife? And then he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he broke the chain of addiction and broke everything in our family and set the trajectory, amen, for our family. I'm here today. All of my uncles got filled with the Holy Spirit. They had a Bible study on the 4th of July at my house. In my house, my dad used to party and play poker. It was at my house. I remember the house being filled with cigars and smoking and, you know, and they would drink. Mama would keep me out of the kitchen, and dad had his buddies in there. I remember that being 6 years old. And then all of a sudden at 7 years old, when God changed their lives, I remember that saying, going in that kitchen, but now they got guitars and they're singing and they're praising Jesus. And my grown uncles got tears coming down there. These are carpenters. These are construction workers. These are, one went on to run for Senate for West Virginia. These are professional people and grown-ups that are now in the kitchen of my living room, not filled with cigar smoke, but had the smoke of the Shekinah glory as they begin to worship Jesus, and just tears filling their eyes. And they were happy and they were loved, and it just changed the whole Markham family and set the trajectory of their lives to where we are today. Second and third generation. Why? Because you have one way of doing church, but you have a more excellent way of doing church. So you can either have the religious side where we just kind of do this little patty cake church thing and go home, or we can have an encounter with the living God where the Spirit of God dwells in us, and we have him in our life on Monday. We have him in our life on Tuesday. We have him in our life on Wednesday. The Holy Spirit is involved in our marriage and how we treat our wives. Let me tell you something, dads. The most Spirit-filled thing we can do is be a good husband to our wives and love our children and grab them and love them and hold them and say, baby, I love you, whether you're a boy or a girl, and I'm going to model the best I can for you of what Jesus wants this family to do. But you can only do that with the help of the Holy Spirit. So, okay, I'm going to take a little break. I'm thirsty. And so I got my chocolate milk. Some of y'all know what I'm about to do. Some of you do not. He likes chocolate milk. I do. So it's for everybody. You got milk? Okay, I got this to the side. Let me finish this verse. I want to show you this seriously, and then I'm going to show you this. Okay, John 20. So Jesus says to them, this is the day Jesus rose from the dead. He says, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he has said this, Jesus breathed on his disciples and said to them, what? Receive the Holy Spirit. They received the Holy Spirit. What was happening right there? Were they baptized in the Holy Spirit? No, they received the Holy Spirit. They were born of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because right after he gives them the Holy Spirit, he then says to them in Acts, and then he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John baptized you. There's the word, baptized you with water, but now you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from here. What's going on? He breathed on them, which is a sign of the Greek word is for breath is wind, is pneuma. He breathed on them, and the Spirit of God came in them. They were born again. The first people to be born again, what happened right there in John chapter 20. It was a symbol of when God created Adam out of the dirt in Genesis and says, God breathed in Adam and Adam became a living soul. It's the same thing. Now Jesus is breathing on his disciples to receive the Holy Spirit. Same thing happens to you and me. The moment we put our faith in Christ Jesus, the Spirit of God comes into us and we are born again. That's why they couldn't understand parables. That's why they couldn't understand anything Jesus was saying, because their understanding wasn't there. Because you got to have the help of the Holy Spirit to even understand the Bible. So they were born of the Spirit. Everybody say, born of the Spirit. And then he says, I want you to go and wait to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. So this is what happens, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to show you this. This is a glass of milk. Obviously, this is represents you and me. This is the best way I can explain it about being born of the Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I need a spoon, babe. Please bring me a spoon. Okay, so this milk, thank you. Isn't my wife awesome? This is you and me. When you and I get saved and we say yes to Jesus, some of you have done it here at church. Some of you, like me, did it driving a truck down I-96, November the 5th, 1997, 9:30 a.m. I remember exactly where I was because I meant it. And what I tell you about last week, you got to learn to repent. Repentance is the key point of this whole thing. When I got saved, I knew I got saved. I was serious about God. I called my friends up and I said, listen, guys, and I met with them ahead. Probably 20 out of that 20, there was probably 8 of us that were like brothers. Right, LaDon? He was there, members. We talked. And I said, guys, I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to get my life right. I want to just turn my life over to Jesus, man. And, oh, man, my one friend was like, oh, man, I believe in Jesus. You know, he had a big gold cross. I believe in Jesus. And I was like, yeah, I believe Jesus too. But no, I'm going to follow him, guys. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to try to live for God. I'm going to try it, man. 25 years old, I said, I'm just going to do it. And I just left. I just left. What is that? Repentance. Repentance means to change your way and to go. Repentance means you're not dating girls no more. You're locked in on this one that you're going to marry. It's same as being married. How many know when you're married, you don't have a Tinder account? Is that too personal? When you're married, you wear a ring. You got baptized. You let everybody know you're taken. When you're married, you settle down. That means I do you and you do me and we do nobody else. When you get serious with God and you repent from sin and you say, yes, Jesus, I'm going to live for you and you alone, that is when you get born again. You are saved. You're a Christian. You may not be perfect, but he saves you. And this is what happened. He puts his deliciousness inside of you. That's the sweet Holy Spirit. Yes, he's chocolate. I know. I love chocolate. So this represents you and me when the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. We are saved. We are born again. But let me tell you something. You know what? This milk looks just the same as it did a minute ago before I put it in. You go to work after you said the sinner's prayer, after you said yes to Jesus. You know, you're going to look the same. You ain't going to have any wings flying into work. Nope, you look the same. You taste the same, you think the same, but down on the inside of you, the Spirit of God is in you. Let me tell you something, and you're on your way to heaven, you are saved. This is Apollos. These are the disciples that Paul came across. This is John chapter 20 when Jesus breathed on them and the deliciousness went inside of them. But he says, wait a minute, I want you to do something else. There's another experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is when you take a spoon. And what did Paul tell Timothy? Stir up the gift that is within you. Stir up the gift that is within you. I'm not adding no more chocolate milk. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you don't get more of the Holy Spirit. He just gets more of you. You now are now saying, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Look here. It's not white no more. It's that chocolate goes through every part of this milk. It totally transforms what this thing looks like. In fact, from this day forward, if I held this up and said, what is in this cup? Nobody says milk. Everybody says what? Because milk takes the second row, and chocolate, the thing that is in you, takes the first row. That's now your identity. You're not known for your skin color. You're not known for your gender. You're not known for your age. You're not known if you're Lutheran, Episcopalian, or whatever flavor you want to choose today. You are a child of God, and when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, all they see is the Holy Spirit in you. Here he comes. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. This is what that looks like, people. So you got chocolate, and then you got a more excellent way. That's what happens. You're saved, but you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let me give you these while you need, and then we're going to pray. Because some of y'all need some chocolate. Some of y'all got some chocolate, but you need to stir it up. You need to stir it up. Well, I don't know, Pastor Eddie. Am I going to cry? That's what it was. Actually was my fear, that I was going to cry if I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I needed to cry, because I wouldn't cry. I was hard. I was full of stupidity. But when I said, God, man, I'm all in. See, you got to go from watching to being all in. And this kind of teaching forces us to do that. Now, I will tell you this. When Jesus said, go and wait in the upper room, do you know your Bible says he actually appeared to 500 people? But how many people were in the upper room? 120. 380 had something else to do that day. And I know not everybody's going to receive this message. I know not everybody's going to receive the Holy Ghost, but I pray that you become one of the 120. Because that 120 is why we are sitting in this room today in June 2025. It's because that 120 said, I don't know about whatever you have this baptism chocolate thing, but I want it. And let me tell those of you that have a Catholic background, you know who was a tongue-talking Pentecostal? Mary with her holy self up in there. I just love to say that the Catholics, they go, prove it. And Acts chapter 1, verse 8. So I'm just saying, we're confronted with the truth. What are you going to do with the Holy Spirit? What are you going to do? Have you received since you believed? How are you going to answer that question? It's either, I haven't heard of it. Well, now you can't say that. Now you're never going to look at chocolate milk the same either. So now it's, I heard about it. What are you going to say? I hope you say, I heard about it, and I want it. And I want it. Because your Bible says that God will pour out his Spirit, and you're going to see this tonight, on those who are thirsty. Do I got anybody thirsty in this place today? Do I got anybody thirsty for more than a religious experience? Do I got anybody that's thirsty for something that comes out of heaven, something that'll transform the very thing that you look like, the very thing that you feel, your thoughts? See, that chocolate's got to get all into your thoughts. It's got to get all into your soul, your emotions. It's got to get all up in your Kool-Aid or your chocolate milk. That's what I'm talking about. It's the Holy Spirit. That's being baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's being filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something. When that happened to me, when I said, okay, God, it changed everything. It took my Christian living to another whole experience. Let me tell you why it's good, and then we're going to pray. You need the baptism in the Holy Spirit because it's a more excellent way to pray and worship. I'm going to write these down because I'm not going to go, I don't have time to go through all of them. It's a more excellent way to pray and worship. You can pray and worship without the Holy Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and you're fine. You're fine. But I'm telling you, there is a more excellent way. The Bible talks about, it's not gibberish when people speak in tongues, by the way. It sounds like gibberish. Well, so does Spanish because I don't speak Spanish. We have a Spanish, she's from Haiti, actually, Haitian, and we asked her one time, she didn't speak any English, so through a translator, we asked her, we hear you speak, and her language was a little different dialect than Spanish, but we said, how do we sound to you? And she's our friend's grandmother, and she said, you sound through a translator like this, shubish, 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 shubish. When you speak English. So you think other people sound funny in speaking in a language. You sound funny to other people. But speaking in tongues, when you hear people speaking, it may sound like gibberish, but it's not. Look what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to show you something. He who speaks in a tongue, look here, does not speak to men, but he speaks to God. Well, I can't understand him because he's not talking to you. Watch this. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. This is Bible I'm reading you. You speak mysteries when you are praying in the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Corinthians 14:14. For I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. I want you to understand this stuff. He says, my spirit is understanding, or my mind, but my understanding is unfruitful. He says, I don't really understand in my mind what I'm saying. And when you pray in the Holy Spirit, your mind can think about Wendy's. Your mind can think about, man, I got to get the car fixed this week. Your mind can think about anything, but your spirit is what's praying to God. Don't feel weird. Don't feel like you're alone. Paul says that's what happens. Your spirit is praying directly to God. Look here. He says, so what is the conclusion then? In other words, what am I going to do then? He said, I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing in the spirit, and I will also sing in the understanding. He says, I will. Everybody say, I will. You can underline that, I will. Four times he says it in that text. In other words, I will, my willpower, I choose to pray in the spirit, or I will choose to pray in English or Aramaic. He spoke Aramaic. So you can pray, Father, thank you for today. Help me to live this Christian life today. I pray for my wife. I pray for my kids today. Lord, keep them safe. Protect them today. Lead them not into temptation. I'm trying to go fast. Lead them not into temptation, deliver them, you know, and pray over them. That's praying, great. You can pray that way, but you can also pray in the Holy Spirit. You can lay hands on them and begin to pray in that Holy Ghost language. Begin to just stir that language up, however your language is, sounds like. You will. You don't have to be in a trance. Some of you may be afraid of speaking in tongues because you said, I might be at Kroger, and he might hit me, and I grab the microphone at Kroger. No. Calm down. The craziest things go through your mind. You want to be able to pray in a language that you don't know that goes past your stinking thinking and goes directly to God. Amen. That's praying in the Holy Spirit. You can pray, but I'm showing you a more excellent way. Romans 8 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps. Everybody say helps. He helps us pray in our weaknesses for when we don't know how to pray. Have you ever been there? You don't know how to pray? You don't know what you should pray? He says the Holy Spirit prays himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Hallelujah. That's intercession prayer. That's when you're going into that deeper level when you begin to pray. A more excellent way to fight. This is another way to fight your spiritual battles. You can fight by praying. You can fight by reading the word. Absolutely. Ephesians 6 says, put on the whole armor of God. But no one ever finishes verse 17. Verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation. How many's heard of this before? The helmet of salvation, yeah, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Every Apollos churches stop right there. I tell you, there's a semicolon right there. And then he finishes the thought and says what? And pray in the Spirit. You see that? And pray in the Spirit on all occasions. Why? It is a spiritual weapon. This is why the devil don't want you to know it. This is why they don't want you to know it, because you learn how to pray in the Holy Spirit. It changes your prayer life. It changes everything about your walk with God. Yes. Lastly, a more excellent way to build yourself up. There's a lot of ways that we can build ourselves up. We get excited. We look forward to events. We you know, hang around people, make us feel good and whatever. You may be planning a vacation. And, you know, I'm excited about that. We're going to Africa in a couple weeks. I just spoke to the missionary 2 days ago, and it's exciting. I can't wait to go. I look forward. When you have something to look forward to, it builds you up, right? Makes you feel good. Got a vacation coming. That's all good. Nothing wrong with that. But look what the scripture says in Jude. He says, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit. You can build yourself up from the inside by praying in the Holy Spirit. Now, come on, I want us to just stand to our feet in this place, all over this room. I'm done preaching. I've said enough. Do you get it? Yeah. Do you get it? Yes. Everybody here ought to be able to understand what I'm just saying. It doesn't mean that I'm asking you to be saved. No, you're already a Christian. Those of you that need to, that want more, you got that chocolate in you, you want to stir it up so that it takes over everything in that cup. That's called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's what today is all about. That's what Pentecost is. Yeah, you're going to look a little different. Yeah, you're going to have a little different in your praise and in your worship, but it's a good thing. I prefer chocolate milk over white milk, I'm telling you. So will your husband, so will your wife, because you're going to be more full of the Holy Spirit. Now, you're going to have, here's the problem. You and I leak. If I let this sit here for 12 hours, that chocolate's going to fall back down to the bottom of this cup. And this is for you older Christians. Well, this is what you got to learn to do. You got to learn to stir that back up again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we worship you. Come on, worship team. Lord, I worship you today. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. I got a lot on my mind, but I'm going to worship you anyway. Hallelujah. You begin to just pray in English. You begin to connect with God. Get past your mind. Begin to say, Lord, fill me today. I get your mind. Help me today, Jesus. And then you can begin to pray in that Holy Spirit. And it's a beautiful language and a way to worship Jesus in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. Lord, on this Pentecost Sunday, we've set the table. And Lord, tonight we're going to come back and we're going to worship you. And we're going to get filled. But God, I know you can fill even right now in this room. You can fill even right now in this room. Those that are even watching online, you can fill. The chocolate's already there. The Spirit's already there. Father, we just need to stir him up in this place today in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have no chocolate in your milk. You're just maybe a good person. Maybe you've attended church before in your life, but you've never really surrendered your heart to Jesus and made that decision to make him the Lord of your life. Listen, I want to give you that opportunity right now before we go any further. If you're in this place and says, I need that chocolate, I need the Holy Spirit into my heart. I don't understand all this other stuff, but I want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of God. I'm not sure, but I want to be sure today. If that's you, will you just lift your hand up high, real high, and say, I'll pray for me. Amen, 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 amen. 3, 4, 5, amen, amen, amen. Keep it up. 6, 7, amen, amen. That's awesome. Any more, if you haven't lift it up real high, amen. 7 or 8 of you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, this is what I'm going to do. Listen, we're going to come back tonight at 6, and we're going to really have our Holy Ghost time. This is just the setup. But you can still get prayer today. But I want those that raised their hand to get some chocolate in their cup today. I want them to get saved. I want you to become a believer. So come on, church, will you help me encourage them? Will you just get out of your seat and come up here? If you lifted your hand, will you come out of your seat, come up right here? Altar workers, will you come help me? I want nobody to be standing alone by themselves. Come on, come. Yeah, yeah, come on. If you lifted your hand, come on up. Come on up, stand right here and face me. Just face me. Face me. Just come on up here. Come on up here. Amen. Come here, Drew. God bless you, brother. This is a man right here. We've been praying for this guy a long time. Amen. Come. Any more? Come on up. Just look at me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Come on, there was more. I saw a lot more. I saw two over here. Don't be afraid. Come on. This is good. This is a good first step. You're going to just come up and receive Christ today as your Lord and Savior. Have you got any family? Come on up with them. This is a big step. Listen, this is why Jesus died on the cross, was right here. I'm excited about Pentecost, but this is what it's all about. Right here. Saying yes to Jesus. Amen. And if you're at home and you want to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can put your name in the chat. We have a host that's going to pray with you, talk with you. But right now, we're going to ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins and wash us clean. Amen? Amen. Okay, guys, look up at me. Awesome. Thank you for coming. Thank you, everyone, if you answered that call. Okay? What we're going to do is we're going to ask God to forgive us of our sins. And he's going to forgive us of every sin we've done. I don't care what you've committed. I don't care, like me, if you did a lot of things that you are not proud of. I'm sure we all did. They're going to go away right now because Jesus died on the cross for your sin. And he brought you here today to hear this word. And all you're going to do is receive Christ. He's going to come into your life. He's going to give you a clean start today. You may go back to work tomorrow and you just may not feel different, may not look different, but that don't mean you anything. You believe you're different. It's just like when you marry somebody, I always have the bride and groom repeat after me. And then what do I say? I pronounce them married. Whether they feel married or not, what? They leave out of that church and for the rest of their life, they act like they're married. whether they seen had a goosebump or not, same way. You're going to repeat this prayer after me, and then you're going to walk out of here today acting like you're a Christian to the best of your ability. And guess what? Everybody around you, we're here to help you do it. We're going to help you, Andrew. We're going to help you. So you ready to pray? I want you guys to pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I come to you today as a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins, to wash me clean. I turn from them and I turn to you. And from this day forward, help me to follow you. For I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sin and he rose again on the third day. And I confess with my mouth, I make him my Lord today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, amen and amen. I pray that message was a blessing to you, that you received some sort of encouragement or word of instruction from the Lord. That's our prayer at River of Life, that every time you tune in, that God speaks directly to your heart. Well, this is Pastor Eddie again. Just want to say thank you for listening to our podcast and remind you that every Tuesday, a new message is uploaded. Also, if you want to watch one of our services, head over to our YouTube channel. It's River of Life Church, a church of his presence, his promises, and all people, and you can watch one of our services that way as well. So God bless you. I pray God's presence be with you for the rest of the week. Amen.